Anything you'd like to discuss before I get started, Will?
No, we're ready.
All right. Before this call this morning, I reviewed some of the information that you shared with me prior to beginning Supernova. I'd like to look at two things that you mentioned. They're intertwined. You told me you wanted to grow the practice. No question there, right?
Correct.
And then you said you don't want to be a salesman. And we had a little conversation around that. Here's how these things are linked. I think this is really important. And in order to grow, a person has to make changes. Change is a person's friend, how always has been for me, because it expands my comfort zone and I get better at what I do. So the reason they call it a comfort zone is it's comfortable being there, and change requires me to get out of the comfort zone. Probably you've experienced the same thing, am I right?
Yes.
And the thing about being a salesman is what when you think of a salesman, and I think this is key. What's off-putting to you about a salesman?
Well, I guess if I am I don't know. Honestly, I'd have to think about that a long time. But part of it is here's what I want to be is absolutely terrific at what I do, and give people the highest levels of advice and results. And I have no doubt in my mind that if I do that, if I'm really terrific, which then I don't have to push people to use my services. I can just kind of tell people what I do. And
yep.
So I was talking to Audrey about this before our meeting, and I said, you know, if you go to a fabulous restaurant, as you're leaving, the restaurant owner does not have to say, hey, tell your friends, because if you've had an extraordinary experience, you're going to spontaneously tell your friends because you want your friends to have the same experience. So blah, blah, all I say this is I sent Audrey several emails from a client that it's probably my best client, and but he's praised me several times in the last couple of weeks, and so I just thought, well, we're getting some good feedback here, Audrey, so just thought I'd let you know. And so that guy, he's the kind of guy who would tell somebody, but if we are doing an extraordinary job, then we don't have to beg people like that. And I don't know. This is way more conversation than you asked for, but I don't know. I just want to be the best. And I think because there's so much mediocrity out there, including me right now, that if you truly are extraordinary, if I raise my level of performance to extraordinary from mediocre, I'm probably not going to have to beg people to come to me or come to us, and I'm probably not going to have to work too hard to make that known, because people who are the recipients of that extraordinariness are going to tell others. So that's the answer to your question.
Well, and it's a good answer. It's you gave me a better answer and a more thorough answer than I was looking for. Here's what a salesman is to me. If I walk into a clothing store and somebody jumps, starts trying to, what do you need, what size are you, and all that stuff, I don't feel comfortable about that. That's just me. So it doesn't bother my wife. A lot of people, it doesn't bother. All I need to know is where the 44 longs are, and I'll get back to you if I need any help. I think of some car salesman as pushy. I think that's probably the definition of pushy and being a salesman. If you have a better product, you don't have to advertise as much. It's just like you said with the restaurant. If you have a great experience, you want your friends to have that same experience. Can you see the you've already seen that correlation. You've just said it to me. You've seen that correlation of your practice and that restaurant example, right?
Absolutely.
Here's the deal, Will. There is nothing keeping you from not only do you have to have an extraordinary practice service-wise, you have to let people know what they're getting. You have to make sure they understand all the things that they are doing you're doing for them. So the issue here, there's nothing keeping you from developing that practice. There is nothing keeping you from doing it except, and this is conjecture on my part, is you don't have the confidence that you can deliver what you're talking about. If you know you can deliver the service model, monthly scheduled contact, rapid response to questions, problems, inquiries, and fully implemented planning, if you knew in your heart you could deliver that, I think you would be more confident in making these calls to your clients and tell them about the refinements to your practice, because you know you can deliver it. Am I making any sense there?
Yeah.
And last week you told me, and I'm grabbing last week's notes, if you roll this out to clients, this refined service model, they'll think you're full of it. I mean, that's what I'm just reading from my notes. So I know you can deliver it, Will. I know you rightly say that there aren't many extraordinary practices out there. There just aren't. There are people doing it the same old, same old. When you have something different, clients are attracted to it. Prospective clients are attracted to it. So the reason I have this conversation, I don't like salesmen either, but I love people who are great at marketing. A salesman leads with a product. If you walk into the Ford dealer, he's not going to talk to you about a Mercedes. Agreed?
Right.
So by definition, he's a salesman. He's going to get you the best Ford he can get you, but that's all the further he's going to go. Somebody who's good at marketing is led by client needs and then finds a solution to those needs. So if sales is the beginning of the process, that's sales. If sales is at the end of the process, that's marketing. Do you see the difference? If you lead with sales, you're a salesman. If somebody walks into your office and you say, "Yeah, you really need to look at this American Funds, whatever," don't know what the client needs, but today you're selling American funds. That's sales. If the sale is at the end of the process, that's marketing. You listen to the client, you find out what the client needs, and then you find a solution. That solution, by definition, most of the time in our business, is a sale. They buy something, but you don't lead with it. You find out what a client needs, how you can solve the problem, and then you find a solution. That solution may be a second-to-die insurance policy. That solution may be lowering their risk in the market by selling equities and buying more fixed income. But that's when you offer a solution, that's usually a sale in our business, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm asking you to just understand here, and I've been around some great salesmen. I think I told you the story of my uncle, who was a fabulous salesman, had a big cheap jewelry business. He sold it all over the country. He bludgeoned people. Made me really uncomfortable. But then I learned everybody doesn't have to be like Uncle Fred, and it made my life a lot easier. So when you're out there and you're talking about what you're going to deliver, you have to deliver it in confidence. I'm making some refinements to my practice. Let me tell you what that's going to look like. I'm going to offer monthly scheduled contact. Four of those 12 contacts are going to be quarterly reviews. Two of those are going to be face-to-face. I'm going to continue to offer a rapid response to any questions, problems, inquiries you have, and I'm going to offer fully implement multi-generational and fully implemented planning. The reason I can do that is that I've established a minimum for new business, and I keep the size of my practice and number of people relatively small. That's how I can deliver this service. And the thing is, you can deliver it. Now, if you call someone, and we've talked about this, but I think it's important to go back. If you call someone and they say they like what you're doing now, they don't think they need monthly scheduled contact. You remember the progression. Well, I know this is different, Mrs. Jones. Could you try it for 3 months? And if it doesn't, you don't see value in it, I'll dial it back. No, I don't want to do that. Well, I understand. I didn't get to this point in my career by not listening to my clients. Could we go ahead and get the quarterly reviews on the calendar? So, if they turn it down, and very few do, if they turn it down, they still know you offer it. Just because they don't want monthly contact doesn't mean, they still need to know you offer it, because that's part of your brand and will help you help them specifically talk about what you do. Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
We've got an industry where communication is the number one reason clients stay and the number one reason clients leave. So if the number one reason clients stay with an advisor is they communicate well, and the number one reason they leave is because they're not being communicated with well, don't you think that if you offer that, it's going to be awfully attractive in Raleigh or Asheville or wherever you've got clients? Make sense?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you're offering clients for no more money than they're paying now an extraordinary service. If you could get on an airplane and up and fly first class for no additional cost of coach, you'd fly first class, right?
Yep.
So that you're offering your clients first class seat for the same price they're paying now. And for a prospective client, you're offering them a first-class seat for what they're paying at Merrill Lynch or wherever. This is a really, really good deal for the clients. And what you've learned in your time in this business is that if you always take care of the client, if you put the client's interest first, everybody usually comes out okay. So you're offering them something special. If you deliver this service model, and you can, you differentiate yourself from most people. So that's as I thought about our conversation from last week and went back and looked this morning at what we talked about in week one. It just, you know, this is when you said to me that they're going to think you're full of it. They won't think you're full of it when you deliver it. And we can help you deliver it. It's not that hard. You got 50 clients. You got 60 clients. What, 55? Something like that. You got time to deliver this and have a lot of fun doing it. I mean, you told me 27% of your people have plans. There is so. I worked with a. It, down in your area, I think it was Morgan Stanley. It was Morgan Stanley, and it was in Raleigh. That as they started rolling this out to clients, they couldn't get it done as quickly as normal because they were finding so much business as they rolled their refined practice out to other people. There's no embellishment there. They couldn't talk to new roll it out to new clients because the business was flowing in from their conversations. So that's what's there for you. You deliver this with confidence. Your clients, your prospects want to know that you're confident about what you're offering. So I think this is a good conversation to have. I just ask you to trust the system. And what happens is as you trust the system, you start getting positive feedback, either through what the client is saying or what they're doing. And if you knew that you could talk to three people today and three clients and tell them about your refined practice, and each one of them said, "This is terrific. You need to talk to my business partner," or whatever. You get a lot of energy from that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You can't get the energy unless you expand your comfort zone and have these conversations. So I'm glad we had the conversation. I think by your response and how you define what you don't like about a salesman, I think you see the correlation and the opportunity. You just got a huge opportunity because of the competition, and just in your own there's business to bring in. Plus, when you have these conversations with clients, you're going to start to do more business. Have all 27, you said 27% of your people have a financial plan. Have all those plans been fully implemented?
I would say so.
I mean, the assets have been retitled that need to be. You got the right asset allocation. All of those things that go into are the people going to be able to retire? I mean, you have a Monte Carlo simulation on your plan, correct?
Yes.
So you know you could go into your computer and know what the probability is of a specific client hitting their goals, correct?
Right. Let me interrupt one thing. Audrey, just if there's anything you need to – include Audrey on. She's got a dash exactly at 11:30.
Okay. All right.
I'm not available. I mean, if it goes on, I'm certainly available. But
no, let me look. Now, Audrey, we talked about this last week. I just want to confirm, you have one folder put together, correct?
Yes.
We have two now.
Try.
Okay.
A list too.
Okay. what I'd like to do is, as long as you've got that, you told me last time that you're up to speed on the scheduling tool. Feel free to go at 11:30 or whenever it's works for you.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Well, what's on your calendar for the rest of the week? I mean, what do you got scheduled the rest of the week?
Well, today at lunch I've got a meeting with some lending folks of another firm that just do lending, and I've met them. I might be able to offer their clients who they can't offer some of the stuff we offer, might get some referrals from that. I got a meeting with a business broker tomorrow morning at breakfast. I've got a bar meeting on tomorrow afternoon with a bar committee. I've got a meeting Thursday with a nonprofit I'm deeply involved in. I've got, bye, Audrey.
Bye. Rob.
See you, Audrey.
I've got an event for a nonprofit I'm deeply involved in on Thursday evening, and that's about it.
All right. Any client meetings or prospect meetings scheduled?
No, not scheduled, but I'm still calling people trying to explain the new system.
All right. The purpose in asking that question is once you get these people scheduled, you're going to have things on your calendar that are going to be fun to be dealing with. You're talking to your clients on a regular basis. Good things happen. You have an opportunity to have referral discussions. So what you will have with 60 clients, we talked about this last week, you're going to have client discussions scheduled on a regular basis. Good things will happen. I heard a lot of things there you're doing. Do you get many clients out of the Bar Association meeting?
I have gotten zero.
All right. The lending people, can RBC not do lending?
Yeah, we can do lending, but I'm hoping to get people from them that they can't help.
These people you're going to go talk to, you're looking for referrals to liability work that they can't handle?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just want you to, there's, in my opinion, Will, there's nothing more important than having these conversations with clients. I've been telling you that. I'm probably wearing you out with it, but that's how this thing starts. That's how you build the base. It's easier to begin referral conversations when you know that you're offering something different. A client will have more energy around referring you if they know what they're getting. So there's nothing more important to do than to have these conversations. Bring me up to speed on where you are with those. How many conversations have you had since we talked last?
10 since we've talked. So
terrific.
12 in total.
Okay. How did those conversations go?
I think people think it would be a I think people are positive toward it and think it would be a good thing. And I think they were impressed by it.
Okay. Now, how did did any of those 10 will go? Does one stand out that was really a great conversation?
Well, I had one yesterday that I thought the woman thought it was a very organized, professional approach.
Okay. All right. Now, how did you, and then did you close by telling her that Audrey would be back in touch with her to schedule a time that worked best for her to start those calls?
I did tell her that Audrey would be setting most of the meetings.
Okay. Okay. So, you told me that your best client, to say you started the meeting today, some of your best client said some really complimentary things about you or about the practice. What did that person say?
He was very complimentary about how fast I always get back to him. He said he was always amazed because he's a real academic kind of guy. He was a college president, university president, and so he thinks a lot and reads a lot, and he'll email me an idea that he would like feedback on, and I'll get right back to him, and he's impressed by that.
All right. He was the president of a university?
Yeah.
Hey, mate, what university?
Furman.
Wow. A little money at Furman in Greenville, South Carolina. Do you think he knows people? Do you think he knows people who would like to have in your practice?
Oh yeah.
He knows enough people that if you got a quarter of them in your practice would double. Probably more. So, let me demonstrate real life here. What the way that we would go back, I would so he says the best time to have a referral discussion, Will, is when value is given by you and that value is recognized by the client. The best time to start a referral discussion is when value is given and value is recognized. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
And here's how it would go. I'm going to call him Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones, first of all, anytime anybody gives you a compliment, you confirm that you heard it. It's called validation. And you say, Dr. Jones, thank you for saying that. Service is a really big part of my practice. Do you see how you've confirmed that you've heard him?
Yes.
Very important. And then you say, do you know anyone else who would appreciate that same type of service? You don't say, do you know anybody else I could talk to, or do you? You continue the conversation by asking around what Dr. Jones in this case has recognized as value. Dr. Jones, thank you for saying that. I work really hard to provide that type of service. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same level of service? And then you shut up and listen. So once that you get your service model in place, then you're going to have more opportunities to have that type of discussion. But we got to get the service model in place. So the 1242, the monthly schedule contact, four of those contacts will be reviews. You've been doing reviews your whole life, so you know how to do those. The other eight will be non-review discussions, and I'll talk to you later in Supernova about the substance for those non-review month calls. The rapid response, Audrey sounds like a real winner to me. I hear a lot of energy. Cindy was impressed with Audrey. So it seems like you got a good one there. Sometimes the assistant isn't on board because she doesn't want to change what she's been doing. I think that's not the case with Audrey. So she can handle the scheduling. She handles the response, and you do the planning. Here's what your planning is going to be. It's going to be fully implemented, and it's going to be reviewed on a regular basis. So you can deliver this service model. You've got a great assistant to help you. You've got to make sure clients understand what this service model looks like. Now,
well, let me interrupt you 1 second with a comment. Yep. Hold that thought. I'm getting more confident in these conversations with clients, and I can begin to see that it resonates with them, that they like it. So as you pointed out, if you're going to say it, you better do it, and you got to do it, or it's going to crash and burn and fail. But as I gain more confidence because I see that it's welcomed and appreciated, and I'm sure as I gain confidence because I see evidence that it's appreciated and works, then the confidence will grow organically through personal experience, and I won't have to I'm getting more confident in it because I can see it works, and I'm not only saying I can see it works as a result of I'm having the conversations, and it seems to be impressive. People, they appreciate it. So that's how.
Let me cut to the chase here. It's the right thing to do, Will.
It is absolutely the right thing.
It's the right thing to do. So whether, I mean, you're not ever going to say to a client who doesn't want 12-4-2, you're never going to say, well, you're fired. That wouldn't be intelligent. But you know it's the right thing for people.
No
so whether
doubt.
They like it or not, that doesn't – if you knew the market, a position somebody had was going to crash and burn or whatever, it's the right thing to do to call the – the client might not like the conversation, but it's the right thing to do to call and tell them what you think they should do. So this is about doing the right thing for the client. The client wins here. If they don't want to do 12-4-2 and they end up doing monthly scheduled contact or week or quarterly contact scheduled, that's a big upgrade from what you're doing now. So I hear the thing about confidence. Confidence is a wonderful thing. This is the right thing to do. Don't worry about whether they like it or not. You're offering them something special.
Well, I agree, but at the same time, if I'm telling people I got this great Mercedes for you and nobody wants the Mercedes, they tried the Mercedes and they hate the Mercedes, that's not confidence building. But people like the Mercedes, so that's all I'm saying.
If they don't want – see, it doesn't matter if they don't want to do it. It's important that you tell them what you do.
Okay.
That way they know what you do. If a person doesn't want to – a Mercedes, that's their decision. But it doesn't preclude your saying, I think this really works for you. Mercedes, it's the right size, blah, 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 blah. You tell them what you don't force things down people. That's sales. You tell them what you think, but they get to make the final decision. At Merrill,
right.
if you didn't do what the client said, you got fired. You can't take discretion. So but you can always tell people what you think is in their best interest. That's what they're paying you for. They're paying you for your opinion.
That's good point. I'll give you a little aside about Audrey. She's got some Merrill Lynch genes in her. She started out at U.S. Trust in Boston.
Yeah.
So she is really terrific.
Well, again, that's the feedback that I get. All right. Now, here's what I want you to do for next time, Will. Now, God makes people certain ways. We have to work within our how we're made. You and I are different. Everybody's a little bit different. So you can't change who you are. If somebody tries to be who they aren't, two things bring them back to who they really are. One is time. If you say, okay, I'm going to really start being a pushy guy, and you could keep that up for a while, but over time, you would go back to who you are. The other thing that takes people who they are is pressure. If somebody is trying to be somebody they're not made to be, and they get under pressure, zing, they go back to who they are, and it's confusing. My point is, you're never going to be a pushy person. That's not who you are. So but that's okay. Every type of personality, this is my experience, every type of personality can be successful except passive aggressive. That's a hard one. People don't enjoy being around passive aggressive people. So the fact that you're not a high pressure guy is okay. You just got to be really good in the quadrant, in your personality quadrant. So you just tell your story. Now, I think two things I would suggest is little modifications. Number one is you need to have a little more energy in your voice. Just, you know, a little higher pitch. You know what I mean? I can talk like this, or I can talk like this. Make sense?
Yeah.
The other is, and I hope you take this as caring about you and wanting to help you make a difference, you interrupt a lot. You interrupt me. You haven't today, but in the past, you've interrupted me. I'm okay with it. You haven't hurt my feelings. You won't hurt my feelings doing that, because I can do both. If you do that to a client, it can be harmful to the relationship. So just make sure that you're listening, and then when somebody's finished, then you can respond. So just make sure that you're a good listener. Some people, I had this said to me, I heard this about 2 months ago. Some people are good listeners, and other people are just waiting for that person to quit talking. You get the difference?
Yes.
So take your voice up a little bit. Not crazy, but just take your voice up a little bit, and make sure that you're listening. That's why the reason I start my calls with you the same way every time. Is there anything you'd like to discuss before I get started? And Will, there are many times I ask that question in these counseling and these consulting calls. I never get back to the rest of the outline because that person had something that was more important to talk about. It's the same thing. Ms. Jones, before we get started, is there anything that is on your top plate? Is there anything you'd like to discuss? No, Will, I'm good. Then you start. Or she might say, well, Will, now that I'm really – whatever. So it's just you got to be a good listener. So I hope that makes sense to you.
Yeah, I will say I didn't sign up for this because I wanted somebody to tell me that I'm perfect just the way I am. So I want your feedback. I want these kind of comments that you're making. And believe me, those two things that you just told me will certainly give a lot of thought to. And try to implement. But I can remember one time working with kind of a coaching marketing guy when I was practicing law, and he gave me some feedback, and I've never, ever forgotten it. And hopefully I've implemented it some, but the point is I want, even if it feels kind of harsh and hurtful to hear some of your comments, it's okay, because ultimately that's what I want. It's what I signed up for.
Will, the energy in your voice right now is significantly, I sense more energy than when we started. Remember at the first I said, are you okay? Anything going on? And you just didn't sound good. Now you have a bit of energy about you. So it's just really, really important.
I know what you're talking about, and it's appreciated. Sometimes, as you know, we can't see ourselves. So unless somebody on the outside points something out to you, you may never ever know it.
Well, that's true. In my earlier years, I was kind of a put down humor guy,
and yeah, I had part of it.
Well, I thought I was just being funny. And I had one of my mentors talked to me the next morning and said, you know, you got to quit. You're just going to get you killed. He was talking about management-wise. And I never forgot that. I know where it happened. It happened in Baltimore. I know the guy who I had the conversation with. So, you know, we're not perfect. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to I'd like for you, this before we talk next time, to have 3 client calls. Okay?
I'm writing it down, yeah.
Okay. Now, I also want you to get those 3 people and the other 12, 15, I want you to get them scheduled. I want you to make 3 more calls. I know you made 10 last time, and that's terrific. But what I want to do is now I want to get these people scheduled so you can see what it looks like.
Okay. Just a clarification. Are you saying get all 15 scheduled or get 3
yes.
scheduled?
Yes. Start working on getting all 15 scheduled. Now, today is August the 14th. We talked about starting after Labor Day. Let me get the calendar in front of me. Why don't we start scheduling on August? No, not August. Why don't we start scheduling on September the 10th.
Okay. As an aside, I've already got one scheduled.
Okay. Remember, how you schedule, Will, is it's the second Monday, the third Tuesday. You understand that part.
Okay. Say that again.
Okay. You can't schedule somebody by date. You can't say we're going to meet the 11th of every month, because sometimes the 11th
right.
is on a weekend.
I got you.
So you have to say you're scheduled the second Tuesday of the month at 10 o'clock.
I didn't realize that. Are you saying people should generally be on that kind of schedule? So, Mary,
yes.
She's always the second Tuesday of the month?
Yep.
Try to do it that way?
That's the only way you can do it. If you do it by date, they're going to get on a Saturday or Sunday.
No, I mean, but so, people come to expect Tuesday. The second Tuesday is my day at 10.
That's exactly right.
Okay, that blew past me.
Okay, well, easily correct. How did you schedule this person you got? How did you do it? By date?
Well, I never mentioned the day of the week thing. We just picked a day, and it happened to be the 22nd, Wednesday the 22nd. So maybe I'll make her like the, I don't know if that's the third or that's the fourth Wednesday. Maybe I'll make her the fourth Wednesday lady.
Yeah, fourth Wednesday at 10 o'clock. That's her hour. She gets, she's.
Okay, I maybe hadn't gotten to that part, but it's a great idea. It makes it easy for people to remember.
Yeah, and here's what happens is Audrey calls or sends an email a week ahead of time and says, Miss Jones, just a reminder, our monthly meeting is next Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Okay? And I'll go over this with Audrey next week. She might say, terrific, or she might say, well, I got a conflict. And then I'll walk you through how to resolve that conflict. But you schedule. It's very important. That's her hour with you. She does. You're not on your reviews. Your reviews are going to probably take close to an hour. But your non-review months, as we talked about last week, are probably going to take 10 minutes. So that hour is reserved for her. But you're not going to take that every month. Nobody. I don't think anybody wants to talk to their advisor an hour a month.
No.
No. So sometimes you're going to call. You're going to start with anything you'd like to discuss. No, everything's good. And you say, well, here's what I'd like to spend a few minutes on this month. And you have that conversation with everybody. Right now, just give you an example, is I've got I told you somebody hijacked my Social Security number. I pay like $120 a year for people to guide me through those problems, tell me what to do, when to do it, all of that. That might be a conversation you have with your class. Ms. Jones, just wanted to spend a few minutes talking to you about identity theft. It's happening a lot. Do you have anything to help protect you or put your life back together financially if somebody steals your ID? No, I really hadn't thought of that. So, see, now you've got a conversation that's additive. You don't sell ID insurance, but all of a sudden, here's a guy who manages my money who's talking to me about something that he didn't even get paid on. You see how you start to build?
That's a great idea. I love it.
Or you can talk to him about property and casualty insurance. There's all kinds of topics you can have, and all of a sudden, Will, you're not the stock and bond guy. Here's the guy that runs my financial life. And she's talking to her friend, and your friend says, "Gosh, you get all that. I don't even hear from Merrill Lynch. Whatever."
So that's awesome.
This is awesome. You got a great opportunity here, Will. The competition is weak, and you're getting stronger. So going forward for the next week, I want you to have three more conversations, and I want you to begin to schedule people. Now, if Audrey has any questions about scheduling and how to – I know she can run the Excel, but as far as making – you've got to make sure that she understands that it's done by third Tuesday, fourth Wednesday, whatever. Not by the month. Not by the day. Cindy went over that with her, but you just you want her to be sure she understands. All right?
Hey, we both got to go, but I'll make one final comment. The comments you made about energy in my voice and interrupting, those are much appreciated, and I've been corrected by many, many judges. I've been corrected by football coaches. I've been corrected by law professors. So you're the most gentle coach I've ever had. So don't hesitate. Because that feedback, like you're saying, you told me about my voice, that's priceless, because you're never going to hear priceless stuff like that except in a context like this. So no. I appreciate everything you're doing.
Well, you're welcome. Here's what I'd ask you to do. Do something insignificant, like put a piece of tape on your phone, or just to remind you to be conscious of your energy level. I'll say it again because it's important. I feel your energy, an energy from you that I didn't feel 45 minutes ago.
Cool. I like it.
All right.
All right. I got to run. You got to run. I'll talk to you next week. And I'll do my homework.
Okay. Thank you, Will.
I did it last week. Thank you.
Bye. Goodbye.